When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have a ton of questions about LASIK? You're not alone. That's why we created LASIK.com, one place where you can go to find every answer to every question on your mind. Like, how much does LASIK cost? How long does recovery take? How do I find a doctor? If you've been thinking about LASIK, go to LASIK.com now. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome to the Hornets Hivecast, presented by Charlotte Eye, Ear, Nose, and Throat Associates, the official eye, ear, nose, and throat care provider of the Charlotte Hornets. Here's your host, Rob Longo.
Hi, friends, and welcome to today's edition of the Hornets Hivecast, the official podcast of the Charlotte Hornets, brought to you by Senta, Charlotte Eye, Ear, Nose, and Throat Associates, the official eye, ear, nose, and throat care provider of the Charlotte Hornets. Rob Longo with you today, following a Silver Linings edition of the Hornets Hivecast. Unfortunately, Charlotte falls in Boston last night, 131-98. Hornets now 20-61 on the season. We'll break this one down for you and explain why it happened the way that it did. We will also highlight on our Silver Lining performances. There were a couple to catch up on and a couple to look at here after the game last night. And we are also going to talk about the latest NBA tiers ranking list of players in the association, as recently highlighted in The Athletic. And there's a couple Hornets on the list, and we'll talk about that here a little bit later on. And of course, helping me with all of these topics on this episode of the Hornets Hivecast, the one and only lead writer of Hornets.com, Sam Perley. And Sam, thank you for joining me on this edition of the Hornets Hivecast. I know you've had you kind of on and off here the last couple days, but we're going to finish strong on the road with you here today, and we'll have you here after the game on Sunday in Cleveland. So thank you for joining me on the final two episodes of Game Recaps here on the Hornets Hivecast this season.
Of course. Thank you for having me. There was absolutely my pleasure. And yeah, it's a little strange coming down right to the end here. Thank you for giving me the honor to finish out the season on this road trip with these final two games.
It feels like just yesterday we were in training camp getting ready for the season. Funny how time flies. But let's go ahead and rewind the clock to last night, a 131-98 loss for the Hornets in the contest yesterday at TD Garden up in Boston. And this was a weird one before we even got out on the floor, considering the lack of availability for both sides. The usual suspects were out for the Hornets, unfortunately, here over the last couple of weeks of the season that have been ruled out. On top of that, no Nick Richards, no Grant Williams in this one for Charlotte, so the Hornets very, very thin in the front court. Ended up being Marquise Bolden's first career NBA start last night, and on the other side for Boston, second night of a back-to-back, they lost to New York at home the night prior. They're not playing for a whole lot because, well, they have the best record in the Eastern Conference, and they've already solidified the best record in the NBA, so not a whole lot to play for over this last week, week and a half of the season for the Celtics. So no Jaylen Brown, no Jason Tatum, no Al Horford, no Kristaps Porzingis, no Jrue Holiday, and no Derek White there for the Celtics last night, but did not matter a whole lot in this one, as Peyton Pritchard got hot early and often in this one for the Celtics. He had 13 points and 4 assists after the first quarter, where the Celtics led it 30-24. Hornets did have a 14-13 lead in there. That was the last lead that they would have in the game. They led it by as many as 4, but that got relinquished pretty quickly as the Celtics closed the first quarter on a 13-5 run in the final 4 minutes and 28 seconds. They had a 31-8 run in the final 8 minutes and 3 seconds of the second quarter, and Peyton Pritchard had 23 points and 9 assists at halftime. The only other player to have those kind of numbers in a half this season, Luka Doncic. He was in a little bit of rarefied air. Boston was up 69-43 after two quarters of play. And in the third quarter, the Hornets were able to cut into the deficit a little bit, outscored Boston 33-25 in that third frame. but the Celtics came out hot in the fourth quarter with a 12-2 run and never looked back, outscoring the Hornets by 15 in the final stanza, and they win it 131-98 over the Hornets. But Sam, going back to that first half, not a lot went right for the Hornets. After two quarters of play, they had 12 turnovers. It resulted in 19 Boston points, and Boston had four turnovers, resulting in no points off of those turnovers for the Hornets. And Boston also had a lot of second chance point opportunities as well. 9 offensive boards, resulting in 8 second chance points. Hornets had just 1 offensive board with 2 points, second chance points wise, in the first half there last night. And before the game even started, Steve Clifford talked about how he wants to give everybody an opportunity to play on the roster here for the final two games now, and that was certainly the case last night. Brandon Miller only played 14 minutes. Miles Bridges only played 15 minutes. Vasilije Micic played 16 minutes in the game last night. Those were 3 of the 5 starters that did not play in the second half. So, again, I understand what the Hornets are trying to do, trying to evaluate, but the first half just did not go well from Charlotte in a nutshell, which really put this one out of reach early on.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, you've got two teams here that are on just complete opposite ends of the spectrum right now in the standings. There was literally nothing to play for on either side from strictly a playoff positioning standpoint. And, you know, I thought the Hornets got off to a solid start. They were only down 6 after the first quarter. But, you know, going into this, you knew the size stuff was going to be an even more of an issue than it has been, you know, really all season, particularly on the rebounding. And I think they gave up 18 points in the paint in the first quarter. They gave up, I can't remember the exact second chance points, but it felt like a good amount. And it just felt like that was going to be something that they were just never really going to get a handle on with the interior scoring and stuff. And then the turnovers started becoming a factor in the second quarter. And then 26-point deficit at halftime started kind of reining things back in a little bit, at least with the starters. 12 guys played at least 12 minutes. So definitely kind of a strange game, a very typical end of the season kind of game, given the circumstances for both teams right now. You're seeing a lot of it around the NBA these final couple days. If a team really can't move up or down, they're either resting guys or playing guys that, you know, haven't played as much during the season, giving them more of an opportunity. But I thought, you know, given the circumstances, it was okay. I thought that, you know, it did feel like they could play better, I guess. I think Steve Clifford said that after the game, that, you know, even though they opened the rotation a big amount. And this is kind of just a good example of why rotations usually stay at 8, 9, max 10 guys. It's just hard to kind of fit everybody in and have playing groups going, playing 12 guys this amount of minutes. So it's an interesting game, not a ton to pull from. I think I would venture to guess that Sunday will probably be very similar from a availability rotational standpoint. And I think obviously you'd like to see some improvement in the ball movement, turnover, rebounding areas heading into the season finale in Cleveland.
Again, Hornets fall last night in Boston in the penultimate game of the season, 131-98. After the game, Steve Clifford talked about how the mentality of the team is and how the ability to play everybody is definitely a positive more than a negative.
We had a good attitude about it. You know, everybody's going to play. We want to give everybody a chance, so we're going to do it. That's not an easy way to play for any of them. And you know what? I thought we competed fine. You know, we got to stay away from. Again, we still have to play. We can play better, you know, which is what we need to try to do Sunday.
There's two sides of the coin on this, Sam. I feel like there's one where this is the NBA and there's not a in-house basketball league when you're growing up or youth sports where everybody gets the same amount of minutes and everybody gets a chance to play and all those sort of things. And then there's the other side of the coin where these guys work their tail off all season long for several months. A lot of them are guys that split a lot of time in the G League that were fighting for an opportunity to play here at the NBA level, and now they're getting that chance. And there's guys that are competing for roster spots and rotation minutes and playing time in the future. And if it's not in Charlotte, it's for teams elsewhere in the NBA as well that are fighting and want a chance to display what they're able and what they're capable of. So I understand that there's two different sides of it. I personally land on the latter side of the coin. These guys deserve, if anything, again, it's a 20-61 record for the Hornets. This one game isn't going to matter. These two games, if you want to go in that sense with the game of Boston last night, these final two games of the season, if you go from 22-60 to 20-62, at the end of the day, it's not going to make a whole lot of difference record-wise, so why not get these guys the opportunity? Why not let these guys play and showcase their ability here for, if it's not for the Hornets, it's for other teams out there in the association? So I don't mind that at all, and it's a great mentality that the entire team is on the same page and nobody is pouting or anything like that. everybody's locked in. Everybody understands that everybody deserves an opportunity here in the final two games.
For sure. And, you know, I think it's something that has kind of flown under the radar a little bit. Is there, you know, a lot of these rotational guys that have been playing a lot, you know, the Miles Bridges, Brandon Miller, Vasa Micic. I mean, they've had to take on a tremendously heavy workload, you know, the latter half of the season because of the injuries. And you know, and I think Steve Clifford mentioned before the game that, you know, Grant Williams is beat up right now, even though it's stuff that we're not necessarily seeing. I mean, these guys are really, really worn down right now. And, you know, just given the circumstances, it makes sense. The last thing you want is, you know, a bad injury or something at the end of the season, or something happens and you've got to rehab for the first couple months of the summer. It just doesn't make any sense. So, you know, I think it's good, and especially for guys that, you know, maybe like the Bryce McGowans or JT Thors or Nick Smith Jr.'s, guys that were, you know, played, you know, Leaky Black, another good example, that were, you know, in the rotation for points of the season, earlier parts of the season, because of the injuries and how heavy they were. And you want to see kind of where they're at this stage. Again, I know the sample size is very small, but, you know, with 1, 2, 3 games to go, but you want to see improvements. You want to see, you know, how they've made progress throughout the year, you know, how much better and how much more comfortable does Nick Smith look now than he did in November and December when he was playing minutes. So, you know, I think it's good that, you know, to kind of get him on the floor, get their last little, I guess, taste of the regular season. This is for everybody before you head into the off season. But, you know, something that I do remember from last year, and I think Steve Clifford has been, you know, he's been obviously been around the NBA a lot. Like, don't read super heavy into the end of the season games. There's just so much weird circumstances going on and weird situations and, you know, so much at play from a standings, incentivized standpoint, contracts, playing 12-man rotations, that, you know, you just want to see the guys play well and stay organized and, you know, and compete. But statistically, you got to take everything with a grain of salt a little bit. So I definitely agree with you on all fronts.
Again, Hornets fall last night in Boston. 131-98 career night for Peyton Pritchard. 31 points, 11 rebounds for him for the Celtics. A couple of other guys finished in double figures as well. The more key pieces, Sam Hauser, 16 points. Luke Kornet also had 16 points and 10 rebounds in a starting role. Again, not everybody played for Boston last night. A lot of the stars sat in that game for the Celtics. On the other side, Trey Mann, a team high 19 points, also added 8 assists. Nick Smith Jr., the other player in double figures, he had 15 points off the bench off a 5 of 12 shooting for the Hornets last night, who fall to 20-61 on the season. So those were some of the names that caught our attention, or at least my attention here for the Hornets. Will they be our silver lining performances from last night's game? We'll talk about those next here on the Hornets Hivecast, brought to you by Senta.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have a ton of questions about LASIK? You're not alone. That's why we created LASIK.com, one place where you can go to find every answer to every question on your mind. Like, how much does LASIK cost? How long does recovery take? How do I find a doctor? If you've been thinking about LASIK, go to LASIK.com now. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
I'm not guarding like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. He's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer? Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Rob Longo and Sam Perley with you here on a Silver Linings edition of the Hornets Hivecast. Hornets fall in Boston last night, 131-98, 81 games in the books, game 82 coming up tomorrow in Cleveland, 1 o'clock tip on the Hornets Radio Network or on Bally Sports Southeast, as the Hornets will wrap up the season for the second consecutive year in Cleveland tomorrow night. But still a lot of runway left here on this episode of the Hornets Hivecast. Time now for our silver lining performances from last night's game. Sam Perley, as the guest of honor, I will defer to you. Who's your silver lining performance from last night's game?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Nick Smith Jr. Had finished with 15 points on pretty efficient shooting. He was 5 of 12, 3 of 6 from three-point range, had a couple of free throws, 3 rebounds, 2 assists. In 29 minutes off the bench. That was tied for his second highest total of the season, or in his career as well. And, you know, he last had that many points on January 8th against Chicago. So good to see Nick take advantage of those minutes. You can definitely kind of see, looks a little bit more comfortable taking the right shots, not super fed up or anything like that. You know, moving forward, I'm sure we'll get deeper into this, you know, as we get into the offseason. I think for him particularly, it's getting to the basket a little bit more. It's being a little bit more aggressive with the drives. Looking at his total in the season, he's only taken 15 free throws this season in 667 minutes played. So that'll be something to kind of focus on as he goes into the offseason, just kind of opening up his game a little bit more. Overall, I thought it was a good performance by Nick Smith, and the kind of performance you want to see from a late first-round second-round rookie that was kind of in and out of the rotation this season, you know, spent a lot of time in Greensboro. It's kind of what you want to see in games like this at this point of the season.
Three on the shot clock. Man, to Nick Smith Jr., open look at a three. Yes! Nick Smith Jr. drilling another Lowe's three-point shot. 15 points tonight for Nick Smith Jr.
I feel like Nick Smith has kind of pigeonholed himself into a little bit of a three-point specialist here. I know he hasn't played a ton of minutes here on the season, but you talked about how he doesn't get to the free throw line a whole lot. I feel like that's something that he's definitely going to work on in the offseason. And again, it's a smaller sample size than I think that maybe some people anticipated Nick Smith Jr. had this year. And I'm sure Nick Smith Jr. would have wanted more minutes too. Obviously, that's the goal of any rookie, but he's been a lot more consistent here over the last couple of games of the season. He's been getting a lot more minutes as well. I know he's bounced up back and forth between Greensboro and Charlotte, but he's able to finish the season strong here with the big league club here over the last couple of games of the season. I thought Nick Smith Jr. was great last night. I'll be honest, I thought I was going to be able to take him as my silver lining pick because I thought you're going to take my silver lining pick from last night's game, and that's Trey Mann.
Trey Mann, crossover into the paint, up with the right hand, fouled from behind, and he finishes the play for two. Hoop in the harm, Trey Mann now with 13 points.
I feel like this is like the third straight game that either me or the guest on the Hornets Hivecast has taken Trey Mann as their top performer or their silver lining player in a game, but he just continues to play really, really well. He had a team-high 31 minutes played last night. He was 6 of 10 shooting for 19 points, 3 for 4 beyond the arc, very efficient there, 4 for 5 at the free throw line, 8 assists, 3 rebounds, and after the game, Steve Clifford talked about the play of Trey Mann.
He played more at the point tonight, so he had the ball more, and you know, he had some good pick and roll plays. You know, we just didn't move the ball like at all. So that's going to be Sunday. You know, Cleveland's going to be playing their guys, and the way we played offense tonight won't work Sunday.
The Hornets did end up having 20 assists off of 32 made baskets. I know it's not the most made field goals or anything like that, but that's still a pretty solid percentage for the most part. And the fact that Trey Mann had 8 of them, that's a pretty good sign from an individual standpoint. Team standpoint, obviously not as great considering that one guy nearly had half of your assists, but Trey Mann's the point guard. He's the one that was playing the one the majority of the night because, like I mentioned, Vasilij Micic didn't play in that second half. He only played 16 minutes. He's been the guy that's kind of handled the majority of the point guard duties as of late, ever since all of those guys came over post-trade deadline from Oklahoma City. But again, Trey Mann's just been playing really, really good basketball as of late. I'm not going to say he's auditioning for a rotational spot or a spot on a roster next season. I think that's fairly solidified, but there's going to have to be a little bit of a hierarchy behind a healthy LaMelo Ball next season, and I think Trey Mann is definitely competing for that spot, and he's doing a really good job of it, especially down the stretch here over the last couple games, Sam.
For sure. I've really liked what we've seen from Trey Mann in the now 27 games that he's played as a Hornet, you know, especially defensively. You know, you saw the playmaking with the steals and that he had in Atlanta the other night, and the facilitating, and I think I've said it a handful of times on the podcast, I'm so impressed with his rebounding. You know, he's a really, really good in-traffic rebounder, especially for his size. You know, not a super huge, high-volume scorer. I think that's something that might come a little bit more, maybe when you see kind of, you know, hopefully a healthier roster around him. But he's definitely a guy that can play the point. He can play the two. You can stagger him into different lineups, you know, running lead, you know, similar to how they used Terry Rozier at times where he would start at the two and then, you know, they'd pull him and then he'd stagger back into the second unit and play point guard there. That's certainly a role I could see Trey Mann taking on in the future, but I love the way he just does a little bit of everything, especially defensively. He's, you know, kind of taken up, you know, more perimeter defending without Cody Martin and Seth Curry here down the last month or so. So really good stuff, and I'm, you know, happy for him, especially given a very tough situation Oklahoma City that developed for him this season after playing so much the last couple of years that he was able to you know, take advantage of a change in scenery and play really well here for the Hornets.
Trey Mann, Nick Smith Jr., our silver lining performances in last night's game. Again, a whole lot of the majority of the starters or the starters remaining that are not injured for the Hornets didn't play a whole lot in the game last night. That includes guys like Brandon Miller, who had 14 minutes out there on the floor. Miles Bridges had 15 minutes. Vasilije Micic had 16. Two of those three guys ended up on a recent list in The Athletic that talked about some of the most recent player tiers. We're going to talk about where they landed and maybe some other guys that are on his Hornets roster that ended up on that list as well. We'll talk about that here right after these messages on the Hornets Hivecast.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have you been thinking about LASIK but not sure if you're a candidate? Just go to LASIK.com/quiz and take our free candidacy quiz. In just a few minutes, you'll know if LASIK is likely right for you. And if it is, we'll connect you with experienced LASIK doctors in your area. Start your journey towards 20/20 vision. Take our free candidacy quiz at LASIK.com/quiz. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all. But I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
I'm like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. He's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't me?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Rob Longo and the lead writer of Hornets.com, Sam Perley, putting a button on this episode of the Hornets Hivecast, as always brought to you by Senta. And Sam, as I was scouring the internet here over the last couple of days, I know a lot has been drawn to the attention of one of the most recent ESPN articles talking about how Brandon Miller is listed not even top three in the top rookies in this year's class, and we won't give that any more attention here because I know it's made its airwaves to some other local media guys as well. But one article I did come across here recently was the NBA pre-postseason player tiers, talking about some of the top talent in the NBA. There's not really a whole lot of rhyme or reason to this list that Seth Partnow put together on The Athletic, but it puts together basically the top 74, 75-ish players, and it breaks them down into tiers. So tier one's going to be some really, really elite guys like you would expect, and it's a very small list. You're talking about guys like Giannis and Jokic and Curry and Doncic and Durant and Embiid. That's all in tier one. But as you scroll down a little bit more and you go through tier two, that's a little bit more elongated. Same with tier three, tier four, and it goes all the way to kind of a sub-tier. So there's 4A, there's 4B, and there's 4C. All in all, it ends up being about 74, 75 players, give or take here, tops in the NBA. And again, not a whole lot of rhyme or reason with these. It's not like they go through player by player and explain why they're in this tier or anything like that. It just kind of is a list over time. But there are three Hornets on this list, which I thought was really interesting. I understand maybe one or two, but they ended up getting three guys on this list. They all end up being in tier four, but they're all in different sectors of that tier as well for the most part. Brandon Miller listed in tier 4A in this one. Some of the notable names around him would be guys like Desmond Bane, Scottie Barnes, Mikal Bridges, Darius Garland, Aaron Gordon, Draymond Green, Jaren Jackson, Brooke Lopez, just to name a couple. You go into 4C, and that's where we find a couple of guys like LaMelo Ball and Miles Bridges. For comparison, some of the other guys on that 4C tier would be RJ Barrett, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, Alex Caruso, Mike Conley, Cade Cunningham, Jeremy Grant, Tyler Hero, some of those kind of names that you would see elsewhere in the association. So one, I thought it was great that there were three guys that were able to make the tier list there. And two, the other thing I noticed was the fact that Brandon Miller is one of just three rookies on this list altogether. The other ones, of course, would be Victor Wembanyama and Chet Holmgren. Victor Wembanyama listed relatively high, I would think, considering some of the other tiers. He's listed in Tier 2B, and the other one would be Chet Holmgren as well. He's listed in Tier 3A, so a little bit of a spread between Chet and Wemby. I know that's been the 1 and 2 talk here in the Rookie of the Year race, and now you have Brandon Miller in the fold as well in Tier 4C. So a little bit of a breath of fresh air after some of the, I don't know what to describe it as, but maybe some of the snubs that Brandon Miller has gotten here as of late on rookies list. So good to see Brandon Miller crack that list as well. But all in all, interesting to think that one, the Hornets got three guys out there on that list, and two, Brandon Miller was able to crack the list as well as a rookie.
Yeah. And kind of looking at this article, and it's interesting. And I think it's basically, you know, I know how ESPN and I think, you know, the Ringer and some of the other sites, they'll do like their 1 through 100 player rankings. And this is kind of like that. I think it's more of kind of like in shelves almost. You've got, you know, the, like you said, the tiers. You've got five guys here. Then you go to the next shelf and it's five guys here. So it's less number 65, 66, 67, 68. It's more like, okay, you're on this line, you're on this line, you're on this line, you're on this line. So it's a little bit of a different format, something I haven't necessarily seen before, but I like it and probably poke through it a little bit more. You know, it looks like there was some of it feels like it's gut instinct. Some of it feels like it's, you know, there's an analytical element to it. You know, there's a whole bunch of different factors. And again, these lists, as you know, are never going to be anything that I get up in arms about, unlike some people that are on this podcast occasionally that maybe even host it at times, who I'd like to give a hard time to. But it is good to see, you know, you have three Hornets players on this list right now. And, you know, I'd venture to guess that if Mark Williams had a fully healthy season, averaging close to a double-double, that, you know, he would be in the conversation of here too, given what we saw at the end of last season. So it's definitely encouraging that the Hornets do, as we know, and national recognition less important, but it reminds you that there is a core foundation here in Charlotte, you know, with the guys that they have, the guys that they've drafted, the guys they've developed. You know, the biggest thing is putting it all together and getting everybody available at the same time, which is something that we have unfortunately not been able to see very much of this season or last season for that matter. So 80-ish players overall, I think, are in this. And then like 40 to 80 is the fourth tier. So I think that's kind of, if you want to use a strictly 1 to 100 kind of analysis, I think that's kind of where they lie, somewhere in that 40 to 80 range. So pretty interesting and definitely worth taking a closer look out if you're, want to know more about it.
There's a couple of things here that strike me, and I'll be honest, I think it's maybe a little bit of a surprise for multiple reasons that all three of those guys ended up on that list. One, let's begin with the rookie, Brandon Miller. Well, he's a rookie. I know he's been playing phenomenally, but again, depending on who you ask, he might not even be a top three rookie in the NBA this season. But all things considered, that could be potentially a surprise out there that he is on that list. LaMelo Ball is another potential surprise, considering the fact that he only played 22 games this season. So there might be that analytical factor that it's a smaller sample size, even though he had career highs in scoring average this season when he was healthy. He only played 22 games, so it's a little bit of a smaller sample size. But all in all, good to see him on the list, obviously. And Miles Bridges. Miles has played a lot of minutes here this season. Hasn't gotten a lot of recognition, I don't think, in the national media, just because he's on a team that only has 20 wins. And the fact that he didn't play at all last year either, I think, is really interesting that he landed on that top tier list, the top four tiers, I suppose, here on this Athletic article. So in their own right, every player, I think personally, in Charlotte, it shouldn't come as a surprise that those guys were able to get on that tier list, but at the same time, to play devil's advocate, it might be a little bit of a surprise that they ended up on the list after all.
Yeah, and it looks at the way this is kind of laid out is you can click on each of the players and it will show you kind of, it feels like this list is kind of consistently updated over time. There's like a July 2022, January 23, August 23, April 24. So you can kind of see where guys have gone up, down, what tiers they've been in. And Brandon wasn't even on this list last time they did it. So to have play well enough to be included in this iteration of it is obviously encouraging. It's, you know, people are taking notice, and you know, the way he's played this season, again, given the lack of team success, it's good to see him still being recognized. And same for LaMelo. He was on this in July 2021 and kind of steadily went up, and then has, I think, kind of steadily gone down just a little bit, largely, I would assume, because of the availability factor. So nothing super controversial. Maybe that's why, you know, you didn't have Sam Farber come and talk about it and, you know, get his thoughts and opinions and where everyone should be rankings wise and this tier should be up a tier. But definitely worth taking a look at and kind of seeing where everything lays out and sort of seeing the progression of guys based on how they've developed and, you know, their situations and what teams they've been on.
Hey, be careful to poke the bear. You never know who's going to end up coming up on the podcast and talking about the next list and that sort of thing. So we'll keep it a little bit hush hush here in the meantime. But if you do want to check out that tier list, it is on The Athletic, one of the more recent pieces on The Athletic. Go ahead and check it out there. But there might be some upcoming news and notes on Hornets.com by the one and only lead writer of Hornets.com, Sam Pirelli, who joined me on this episode of the Hornets Hivecast today. Sam, thank you for joining me. We'll do it one more time on Monday, recapping the Hornets and the Cavs for Game 82.
Thank you so much for having me. Yes, last one. Hopefully we can end with a win. And who knows? Crazy stuff's happening this time of year. You never know. So thank you again to everyone for listening.
The Hornets won in Cleveland last year to finish off Game 82. Hopefully history is able to repeat itself tomorrow. Sam Farber will have your game preview of that one coming up on tomorrow's edition of the Hornets Hivecast. So in the meantime, for Sam Pirelli, I'm Rob Longo saying so long. Thank you for joining us on this episode of the Hornets Hivecast. We'll talk to you tomorrow previewing Hornets and Cavs for Game 82 here on EHHC.
Thank you for listening to the Hornets Hivecast, brought to you by Senta, the official eye, ear, nose, and throat care provider of the Charlotte Hornets. For more coverage, visit Hornets.com.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.